Thank you very much. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah writes that the obligation to learn Torah doesn't only apply to young people who are at the age of student, when the student's in school, but applies equally kol ish mi Yisrael chayo b'talmud Torah, whether the person is wealthy or poor, whether the person is healthy or very sick, a bal yisurim, whether young or whether very old, even if he's on his deathbed. The Rambam says whoever has the physical ability to learn Torah is obligated to learn. The Talmud tells us that we shouldn't think that just because a person is so poor and he has to work for a living and he has no time and he has no koyach to learn, he should be exempt. So the rabbis point out that Hillel was a very poor individual, and the Shomer HaPesach, the guard in front of the door of the yeshiva, used to charge a nickel for the people to attend, and he couldn't afford, on one occasion Hillel couldn't even afford the nickel to attend. So he sat on top of the roof of the Beis Medrash and he listened to the shir. And then the Talmud tells the story that it started to snow, and he had fallen asleep and the snow fell on top of him and he was frozen. And the next day when the students came back to the yeshiva to learn, they couldn't see. The skylight was blocked and they saw that there was a human figure and they realized that it was Hillel. So the Talmud points out that Hillel mechayev aniyim. If Hillel was so poor and he could be moiser nefesh to learn, so anyone who's poor can do the same thing. If one person can do it, everybody else can do it as well. And then the Talmud says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was extremely, extremely wealthy. And some people feel, I'm so wealthy in my position in life, I have to rub shoulders with the other wealthy people, I have to go to conventions, I have to go to conferences, whatever, I have to meet with people. How do I have time to learn? So this individual, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, was extremely wealthy and had businesses all over the place. And nonetheless, he learned. He was one of the Tanoim. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is Mechayev the Ashir. If there's one person who is in the same situation as you are, and he is able to learn, so that shows that anybody can learn. People make a lot of mistakes with respect to Talmud Torah, and that's why a lot of people stay away from learning. So one of the big mistakes that people make is they think that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is only fulfilled when the person is learning Gemara with Tosfos, with Rab Chaim, with Rab Shimon Shkop, with the Marshos, you know, the highest level of Pilpul and so on. This is a big mistake. When a person is Mavis Sedra, that's also a big mitzvah of Talmud Torah. If a person learns Tanakh, the Tanakh is also, the Torah Shevach Sava is also considered, believe it or not, the Yeshiva Bracham find that hard to believe. Torah Shevach Sava is also considered Talmud Torah. It's also a mitzvah. And when a person sits and he learns Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, that's also a big mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Person shouldn't think, he can't reach the highest level. Who says that's the highest level? Person shouldn't think he can't reach the highest level, therefore why should he waste his time learning Torah? It's not true. When a person learns Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, that's also a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Other people make a mistake. They think that the whole purpose of learning Torah is in order to know how to observe the mitzvahs. No, I was brought up in a religious family. I know how to keep Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpachos. So what's the problem? What do I have to learn Torah? I know all the dinim that I have to learn. And I know all the halachas that I have to observe. So finish. Why is there any need to learn anymore? So the Talmud points out that this is a big mistake. The obligation to learn Torah appears quite a few times in the Chumash. And the Beis Halevi points out in his Sefer that there are two parts to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. One is the pasuk that says, Olamadatim osam, mishmartim lasosam. We all have an obligation to learn Torah in order that this should lead up to our ability to observe the mitzvahs. And that chelik of Talmud Torah should take precedence. So we should tack instead of first learning Bava Kama, and the Mesichtus, Achreis Negoyim, and Aholus, and whatever, things that are not too relevant. First, we have to learn all of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and all the things that are relevant, Halacha L'maisa, to be religious Jews. But then there's another mitzvah. Well, L'maratam Osim Ez B'neichem L'dababom. We have an obligation to learn Torah, even those parts of the Torah that are not relevant for us. And basically, we have an obligation to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. We have an obligation to learn the entire text of the Torah. The pasuk in Parshas Ekev reads, Ki im shamartu shmurun as kol ha-mitzvah hazos, and the Sifrei understands on that pasuk, shamartu shmurun as ha-mitzvah doesn't refer to observance of the mitzvahs, it refers to learning the laws of kol ha-Torah kula. We have an obligation to learn all of the mitzvahs. And even those mitzvahs that don't apply to us, we have to learn all the dinim that are only applied to Kohanim. The dinim are only, I'm not a Kohen, you have to learn all the dinim that only apply to the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have any Beis HaMikdash. We have an obligation to learn all the dinim that only apply to the Melech, even though we don't have any Melech today in Eretz Yisrael. the men have an obligation to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. That's what the Beis HaLevi points out, that there are two aspects to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. One is to learn the halachas in order as a hechsher mitzvah to enable you to fulfill the mitzvahs. And then there's another independent mitzvah of learning Torah to master Kol HaTorah Kula. And he points out there are several differences between these two. Women are only obligated in the first half of the mitzvah. So the women are not obligated to learn Gemara with Marsha. They're just obligated to study the whole Shulchan Aruch. The women only have to know Shulchan Aruch, the laws of cheating in business, honesty in business, to make sure that they don't, that women go shopping in the store, they go shopping for dresses, for furniture, all kinds of things. So they have to know the laws of honesty in business, they have to know the laws of ribbis, they sometimes lend money, borrow money with the neighbors, have to know the laws of Taras HaMishpach, have to know the laws of Shabbos, and Kashrus, and so on. So the women are not obligated to learn the whole Talmud, they're just obligated to learn the whole Shulchan Aruch. They don't have to learn the Hilchas Tefillin, Hilchas Tzitzis, they're not obligated to put on Tefillin and Tzitzis, but the rest of the Shulchan Aruch they have to know. They have to learn the laws of Chanukah, they have to bench Chanukah, they have to know all the laws of Chanukah, all the laws of Purim, whatever is relevant to them, which is most of the Shulchan Aruch, that they're obligated to know. The men have an obligation not only to learn everything that the women have to learn, but the men have an obligation to learn even Kol HaTorah Kula, even those halachas that are not nageya to them, that will not lead them to fulfill mitzvahs. The second difference between these two parts of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is whether a bracha is recited. We only recite, that's how the Beis HaLevi points out, we only recite a bracha when we perform a mitzvah which is an independent mitzvah. When you go purchase a lulav and an esrig, that's only called a hechsher mitzvah. When you tie tzitzis on a garment, that's only a hechsher mitzvah, that's a hachana, that's a preparation to fulfill a mitzvah later. So one does not recite a bracha when one performs a hechsher mitzvah, but when one performs the actual mitzvah, then one recites a bracha. So if the mitzvah of Talmud Torah would have only been olamadatim osam mishmartim lasosam, only to learn the dinim in order to be able to fulfill the other 612 mitzvahs later on, then one would have not, there wouldn't have been, the hachamim wouldn't have composed the birchas haTorah. We wouldn't have recited a bracha before we learn. The fact that we do recite the bracha before we learn Torah is a clear indication that, and that's because of the fact that there exists an independent mitzvah of Talmud Torah, not only as a heksha mitzvah to lead up to the ability to perform the other mitzvahs, but as an independent mitzvah. And then there's a third difference that the Beis HaLevi points out between these two parts of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. If the person taka knows, the person was brought up in a religious home and he knows how to keep Shabbos and he knows how to keep Kashrus and they know how to keep Taras HaMishpacha, does the person still have an obligation to keep on reviewing the law? Well, he's not going to forget it. He knows the laws of Kashrus. He's not so stupid. He's not going to forget it. So if the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is only the maratim osim mishmartim lasos, and we only have an obligation, if we would only have an obligation to learn in order to enable us to fulfill the mitzvahs, so then we wouldn't have to review and keep on learning all day and all night Bahasmada Meruba. The mitzvah would only be once in a while to have a refresher course to review the dinim to make sure that we don't forget. And for the women, that's all they're obligated to do, just in order to have a refresher course to make sure that they know that they don't forget what they learned in their parents' home, how to keep the mitzvahs. But the men have this independent mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. Even not for the sake of enabling them to fulfill the mitzvahs, the men have an obligation to learn Vayoma Balaylo, as the Pasuk says, Vahagisa Vayoma Balaylo, the Pasuk in Yoshua. Even if they're not concerned that they're going to forget how to keep the mitzvahs, it's a separate mitzvah to learn Bahasmada Meruba. Why exactly should there be such a separate mitzvah? What is gained by reviewing the dinim and learning all day and all night? So Rashi in his commentary on Chumash quotes on the pasuk that we recite in Kriyat Shema twice a day. Rashi quotes from the Sifrei, the comment of the Tanoim. The pasuk reads, "We have to ask Hashem Elokecha, we should love God." And how does one develop a love for God? So the very next pasuk gives you the answer to that question. The way to develop a love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by learning His Torah. Means the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. How exactly does Limud HaTorah lead a person to develop a love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So this is traditionally understood as follows, that if I fall in love with a person who's worth falling in love with, someone falls in love with a spouse, let's say, and they get married, so as the years go on, we hope that they'll get to know their spouse even better, and they'll see even more qualities, wonderful qualities and wonderful traits that the spouse has. because of which they should really have more love for the spouse. So the way to develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by knowing a little bit more about the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can we ever know anything about the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Kuzari writes a famous line, Eli Yedaitiv Ha'isiv. If I would understand the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I would be God himself. The only one who really understands Elokus is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Torah tells us, we can't really understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can understand Derech Mashal a little bit. Really, an outright Mashal we wouldn't be able to understand either. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, which is a Mashal of a Mashal of a Mashal of a Mashal. In a remote way, this gives us an inkling of what the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like. So when we study the Torah, we are really studying and learning about the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, and this will lead us to develop a love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where does this idea come from, that the Torah is a mashal, or a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the pasuk in Sefer Shmuel reads, Kasha yoyma ha-mashal ha-kadmoini me-rishoyim yetzei resha. So it's usually translated, as the ancient proverb goes, me-rishoyim yetzei resha, all terrible things come from bad people. Bad people are the source of all the terrible things in this world. So Rashi, in his commentary on Chumash, on Parshas Mishpatim, on the Pasuk V'Hoelikim Inu L'Yodo, in the context of Golus, Rashi quotes the Medrash that translates, the Moshel HaKadmoini is not an ancient proverb, it's rather a reference to the Chumash, to the Chamisha Chumshe Torah. And why is it called the Moshel HaKadmoini? It doesn't mean the ancient proverb, it means the Moshel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shehu Kadmona Shalolam, the ancient one, with the capital A, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Torah is a Moshel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's certainly a Moshel authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's the author, but it's more than that. Moshel HaKadmoni means a Moshel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then Rav Chaim Alojana writes in his Sefer, it's not an outright Moshel, it's a Moshel of a Moshel of a Moshel of a Moshel. It's the only way to get an inkling of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of the men, apparently he assumes that the women will have a natural tendency towards developing a love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the men need a little more, so he tells us the men should sit and learn Torah by Yom HaBalayla, to learn Bahasmada, in order to develop this Ahava towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is another mistake that a lot of people make, I'll call it mistake number 3, regarding Limud HaTorah. People often give up before they even start to learn, because they figure, how can we ever master Kol HaTorah Kula? It's impossible. You tell me that there's an obligation to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. It's not enough. Let's say when I was in the yeshiva, they taught me Gemara Brachas. So I keep on, I have an acquaintance of mine, a rabbi, a sharp fellow, who used to keep on chazering brachas. Every year he would chazer brachas a few times, because when he was in high school in Ne'er Yisrael, he loved brachas. The Rebbe taught him brachas. So he kept on chazering brachas every year, year after year after year after year. The halacha says that's not, and he learned Bahasnada. That's not sufficient. The halacha requires we have to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. So what do you mean learn Kol HaTorah Kula? Because the pasuk says, Ki Im Shamar Tishmerun, is Kol HaMitzvah Azaz. One is obligated to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. So many people give up in advance. How can you master Kol HaTorah Kula? You go to a library and you look at all of those svarim. It's impossible. There's no human being alive who can know all of those svarim. So the Baal HaTanya has in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote his own Shulchan Aruch. It's like the Chai Yodam. So most of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is taka like the Chayyadam. He just picks out the psak, the maskana, whenever there's a machloike, so he'll give you what the accepted opinion is, what the Ashkenazim have accepted, and then he gives you once in a while his take on everything. But in Hilchas Talmud Torah, he rewrote the whole Hilchas Talmud Torah from scratch. He doesn't start off with the text of the Rambam or the text of the Shulchan Aruch, he rewrote everything. It's beautiful. Very, very lovely. The Hilchas Talmud Torah of the Baal HaTanya. So he points out that this is a mistake that many people think, that it's impossible to miss the Kol HaTorah Kula. It's not really correct. Kol HaTorah Kula is not, the Talmud comments that the Pasuk Arucha Me'eretz Midor Rechava Mine Yam, that the Torah is without bounds and without limits. It's impossible for anybody to master everything. So he says that only refers to the Omik Havanas HaTorah, to the understanding of the Torah in depth. But as far as the text of the Torah, the text is a very limited text. You have people alive today, whom we all know, who finished the Daf Yomi. In 7.5 years, they only learn one Blat Gemara a day. They spend 45 minutes a day. They do the Daf Yomi. So Talmud Bavli, you can finish by learning 7.5 years, you finish that. there are people who learn Talmud Yerushalmi. They also make a siyum in a couple of years. I don't even know. I know one person who made a siyum on Talmud Yerushalmi. He's not that much older than me. I think he probably made already a second siyum. Rabbi Blau, and he made more than one siyum on Talmud Yerushalmi. You have the Tanakh. Tanakh is not that impossible to miss them. I'm not talking about memorizing, just talking about reading through. Rabbi said every week, the Chamishu Chamishu Torah is not that impossible to read through and to understand a pshat. They're not talking about knowing every commentary on the page, just reading through the Tanakh to understand. So the Tanakh and the Mishnayos and the Talmud Bavli and the Yerushalmi and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, it's not that much. It's not such a big library. If you would go into English literature, you would have to read more books. There are more Mefarshim on Shakespeare than this. Talmud Bavli, Yerushalmi, Sefer Sefer Mechilta, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch. There are more books in any field of English literature than this. What the Talmud means that the Torah is Aruch HaMe'er, it's Midah Rechovim Min HaYam, it's limitless and boundless. That's the Oimek Kavonas HaTorah. That's tremendous depth. But just what is the text of Kol HaTorah Kula? The text is not that great. And Taku, all of the men have such an obligation to master Kol HaTorah Kula. Many people give up before they even begin learning because they know they have a very poor memory and they know they're going to forget. So before they're going to finish, let's say the Masechta ends, Brachas, the Masechta that my friend loved so much, Brachas ends around Daf Samach Dalet or so. So he knows before he gets to Samach Dalet, he will already forget the first 40 blot. And remember the last 10, 20 blot, he's going to forget that. So a lot of people have the attitude, I'll never master Kol HaTorah Kula. I keep on forgetting. I don't have such a good memory. So why bother in the first place? So the answer really is that there is a mitzvah to know Kol HaTorah Kula, but that's a gift from heaven. If you have a good memory, you can know. If you review a lot, you'll be able to master it and to remember also. But the mitzvah of Liman HaTorah is to study all of the Torah, even if you forget. What will be accomplished is a good question. What do you gain by learning all of this halacha if you keep on forgetting it? I remember there used to be a balabas from the neighborhood from Washington Heights. I think he was a retired painter, a house painter. So he used to come to my shir for a few years. He used to sit in the back very quietly. And then on one occasion we were walking back home together. So he told me he doesn't really understand the shir. He doesn't know what I'm saying, but he said, he's an older person. He must have been in the 70s at that time. Now he passed away already. So he said, when he comes to the Olam HaEmes, they're going to ask him, does he know the names of the Tanoim and Amoraim? He says, he wasn't from Germany. I think he was from Russia. So he says, in the Russian army, you have to know all the names of the top generals and all the lieutenants and so on. So he says, when he comes to the Olam HaEmes, they're going to ask him, does he know the names of all the Tanoim and Amoraim? So he says, he sits in my class and he hears the names, Abaye and Rovin, and Rav Lezer and Rav Akiva and Rambam and Ravitz. So he's happy, at least he knows the names. He chazes the names. Yeah, the Talmud tells us, even if a person forgets everything that he learned, he still accomplishes something. Even though it goes in one ear and out the other, but it didn't fly in front of him. If it goes in one ear and out the other, it already accomplishes something. And the Talmud assumes that Limud HaTorah purifies the personality and improves one's midos, even if one forgets everything. If he just lets the Torah go in one ear, even if it flies out the other ear 2 minutes later, but I'll call upon it for the 2 minutes that it's there, that will accomplish, it has a cleansing effect on the individual. Rav Soloveitchik was fond of mentioning a medrash that gives a mashal to the king who had was king over a city, and he came to the city. The people loved the king very much, and whatever he would request of them to do, they would do happily. And he once came to the community, and he asked them he delivered a whole bunch of barrels near the river, not far from the river, and he asked them whether they could, he left a big container there, also near the river, and he asked them if they could take the barrels and fill the barrels up with water and pour the water into this big container. So they said, why not? They love the king very much, they'll be happy. So he said he's going to give them a whole day, he's going to come back at the end of the day, and he's going to reward them for the malacha that they're going to do. So the king left, and the people rolled up their sleeves and started taking the barrels and filling them up with water and schlepping the water and pouring it into this big container. So then all the people started to realize all the barrels had holes in the bottom. So by the time they walked a few feet from the river to the big container, all the water leaked out. There were only two drops that came into the big container. So it takes 25 years to fill up the container at this rate that they were going. It was impossible. So they all decided that there must be some mistake. The king delivered the wrong barrels. and they're not going to waste their time. It's an exercise in futility. And there's only one of the people said it can't be. The king is intelligent. He didn't make a mistake. He must have some hidden reason why he wants us to do it. So he was schlepping water all day long, and everybody was laughing at him. Idiot, what are you doing? You're wasting your time. He was schlepping, filling up the barrels with water and taking the water. He got two drops into the big container, and he got nowhere. Came the end of the day, so the king came back to see whether the people had listened to his instructions or not. So they all told the king, he must have made a mistake. This is ridiculous. Only one fool was standing all day schlepping the water. So the king said, no, he's not a nar. That's what I wanted. My real kavana was I wanted to clean out the barrels. I made holes specifically on the bottom. I wanted you to keep on schlepping water, that the water should go out and take out all the dirt. All the barrels were dirty inside. So he said he's going to give reward to this one individual who schlepped all the water. My kavana was not in order to fill up the other container. And the other people were not rewarded. Fakir, the king was angry at them. So this is the cleansing effect that Liman HaTorah has upon us. Even if everything goes out, even if it just goes in one ear and out the other ear, but as it's going through, it certainly will have a cleansing effect on our personalities. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos speaks about one who was Lamed Torah Lishmo, Zechel Advarim Harbe. He gained so much in so many different areas. So one of the points is a Machsharto, Lios Tzadik V'chosid. So the simple translation of the word Machsharto means that it prepares him. Zemachshir. It prepares, learning Torah Lishmo prepares the person to become a great Tzadik. So Abchaim Balozhiner has in his collection of drushes on Pirkei Avos, he says in Yiddish, when we have a trefa pot, so you want to kasher it, so you say, you're kashering out the pot. That's the Yiddish expression. Hechshe kelim. In Hebrew also on the Shulchan, hechshe kelim means to kasher out the pot. So he suggested a taich, he says that it's not the simple translation. The simple translation, machshata, means that the lima Torah Lishma prepares the person, machshata liyos tzadik v'chosin. But it could be that it has an additional level of interpretation. Machsharta means that it kashes out the person. All impurities that are present in one's personality, if a person learns Torah Lishma, can be purified. The Talmud comments on the pasuk Torah Tzivalon Moshe Morosha Kihilas Yaakov, that the Torah was given to all of the Jewish people, and it's a Yerusha to everybody. The Medrash tells a story that Reb Chiya was once giving a shir in the yeshiva, and one of the balabatim, one of the farmers, came in and he didn't understand one word. Reb Chiya was talking highfalutin Torah, and the farmer didn't understand. So he started screaming at Reb Chiya, Gazlan, you're a ganef, you stole my Yerusha. So no one knew what he was talking about. What did I steal? He didn't steal anything. So he said, the Torah Tzivalon Moshe Marosha, it's a Yerusha for everybody. Why did you steal the Torah? Why don't you give me my share? The Rabbanim are gambling the Torah from the balabatim. They have to share and share alike. It's everybody's Yerusha. So the Talmud understands the word Marosha means a Yerusha. It's taka Yerusha that's supposed to be shared by everybody. Why does the Chumash use the expression Marosha? Why doesn't it say Yerusha? So that's what's usually assumed, that just like in English there are two words. There's a word of inheritance, and then there's another word that's heritage. Inheritance means that my rich uncle died and he left me $100,000, and I can do whatever I want with the money. I can gamble away all the money. I can burn the money, I can give it away to tzedakah, I can put it in a bank. A Yerusha, an inheritance, you can do whatever you want. And then there's a heritage. Heritage means that this is something that I got, let's say a family heirloom, something. I got it from earlier generations, and it's understood that it's my responsibility, my obligation to transmit it in its entirety to the next generation, to the future generations. So to in Hebrew, these are two different words, Yerusha and Marasha. Yerusha means an inheritance, that you can do whatever you want, and Marasha means a heritage. And there are only two things in Chumash that are referred to with this expression, Marasha. The one is the Torah Tzivalon Moshe Marasha. The Torah is a heritage of the Jewish people. It's not that it's ours and we have the right to throw it out in the garbage. It's ours and we have the responsibility to transmit this heritage to the next generation. And the other context where this expression appears is regarding Eretz Yisrael. When Moshe Rabbeinu appears to Bnei Yisrael in the very beginning of the Yetzias Mitzrayim drama, and he delivers the Nevuah in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he says, V'hotzeisi, v'hitzalti, v'galti, v'lakachti eschem l'ilom, heibesi eschem al ha'oretz, I'm going to bring the Jews into Eretz Yisrael, then asati osa lachem morosho ani Hashem, I will give you Eretz Yisrael as a morosho. So the Gemara says, Eretz Yisrael already belonged to the Jewish people from the days of Avraham Avinu. So why is it referred to as a morosho? So the answer is that's what it means. Marasha means a heritage, that Eretz Yisrael was transmitted to the Jewish people of our generation and every generation, and we have the obligation to see to it that we transmit Eretz Yisrael to the future generations in its entirety. That's our heritage. It's not our inheritance that we have a right to do whatever we darn please. It's the heritage, these two, the Torah and Eretz Yisrael, are the heritage of the Jewish people, to see to it that we transmit these to the next generation. So on the one level, the Talmud certainly understands the Pshuto Shel Mikra, that Torah Tzivulon Moshe Marasha. Marasha means an inheritance and a heritage, and we have to transmit the Torah to the next generation. But secondly, the Talmud understands an additional level of interpretation in the expression Marasha, from the term Me'urasa, a form of marriage, that every Jewish man is supposed to be married with the Torah. It means the men are supposed to be learning the Torah all day and all night. There are different levels of marriage. There is Erisin and there is Nisuin. When you stand under the canopy, so the rabbi says two sets of brachas. First he says Birchas Erisin, and then the chassan gives the ring to the kala. And then he says the Birchas Nisuin, and the marriage becomes complete. And the Talmud gives a list of differences between the woman who is married only in the first stage of Erisin as opposed to a woman who is married in the stage of Nisuin. In the days of the Tanakh, in the days of the Talmud, till the days of the Gaonim, there would be a long pause of several months in between the first step, the Erisin, the giving of the ring, and the second step of the Nisuin, when the couple would move into an apartment together. So the rabbis of the Talmud understand in this pasuk that every Jewish man is supposed to be married to the Torah, minimum Erisin. If you can have Nisuin, that'll be marvelous. A great Talmud Chacham, who really knows the Torah very well, is considered like he's married with the Torah, like a marriage of a Nisuin, a full marriage. After a couple is living together many years, so they get to know each other so well, so they already know intuitively what the spouse's reactions would be to anything that comes up. So if you have a great Talmud Chacham, he doesn't have to, when a Shaila comes up, he doesn't have to look in the Gemara and start looking at Shulchan Aruch to figure out what the din is. He'll know intuitively what the din is. And most people are not on that level of Nisuin with the Torah. Most people are on the level of an Erisin. Like, we're married with the Torah, but we're not yet living together. We gave a ring to the Torah, we're married, but we haven't yet reached the stage of Nisuin. The principle in the Talmud that Baal Ki Ishtoi and Ishtoi Ki Gufoi, these principles only apply after Nisuin, the Gemara says, and Sanhedrin doesn't apply during the stage of Erisin. So every person, every Jewish man is supposed to have a relationship with the Torah like one of marriage, minimum one of Erisin, and hopefully to develop into a relationship of a Nisuin. And the rabbis of the Talmud complain about the people who are only Lomed Torah Lefrokim. A person once in a while when he has off on December 25th or January 1st or Thanksgiving, whenever they have off, then they learn. And when they don't have off, then they don't learn. You can go a week and a half without any learning, then I learn. The Gemara says that's terrible. That's the pasuk says initially, no if isha hasar leiv. The man is an idiot, the one who's having an affair with someone else's wife. So the Talmud says, Zahalai Matara Lefrokin, and this refers to one whose relationship with the Torah is that he only learns once in a while. He doesn't have his man kavua. If a person is really married with the Torah, so he has his wife. Kavua, he has his wife. If someone's running around with someone else's wife, so he always has to hide. He has to figure out when is the husband going to be home, when is he not going to be home, when can I have a good time, when can I not have a good time. It's only going to be once in a while. So one who learns Torah once in a while, Alei Matara Lefrokim, that's like someone who's having an affair with someone else's wife. That's what the rabbis say. Noya Fisha Chasa Alev, Zeh Alei Matara Lefrokim. The Torah wants that we should learn Kavua, like a husband and a wife. They see each other every day. Unless the husband goes on a business trip, whatever, but they see each other all the time on a regular basis. So that's why the Talmud places great emphasis on the Kviya Sitim La Torah. A person has to learn Torah on a regular basis. The Mishnah in Menaches presents a dispute in the days of the Tanoim, in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, regarding the Lechem Haponim that had to be placed on the Shulchan. Every Friday they used to bake 12 challahs for Lechem Haponim. And they would put these challahs on the Shulchan every Shabbos. And they would remove the challahs that were placed on the Shulchan last Shabbos, and the Kohanim had to eat them on Shabbos afternoon in Malava Malka till by Sunday morning. They had to complete eating these Lechem Haponim. So the Pasuk says in Chumash that we are required to have Lechem Panim Lefanai Tamid. The Lechem HaPanim has to always be on the Shulchan Tamid. It has to be in a state of Hasmada. How do you define Tamid? So the Mishnah records a dispute among the between the Tanoim. What is needed to be considered Tamid? So one Tana is of the opinion, if you take off the old Lechem HaPanim Shabbos morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, and you put on the new Lechem HaPanim at 4:15 in the afternoon, so that's okay, even though there was a long pause from 7 in the morning till 4:15 in the afternoon, because you're not missing one day. The Lechem HaPanim was on the Shulchan on a regular basis, you didn't miss a day. But you missed many, many minutes and many hours, that's not a problem. That's called Hasmada. If the Lechem HaPanim is on the Shulchan every single day of the week, that's sufficient. That's called Hasmada. And the other Tana, whose opinion is the accepted opinion, that seems to have been the practice during the period of the Bayi Sheni, says no. Tamid means literally Tamid. So they had to have two sets of Kohanim. One set of Kohanim would be removing the 12 Lechem HaPanim that were placed on the Shulchan last week, and another set of Kohanim would be placing the new Lechem HaPanim on this week, and it would be Tivcha Shel Zeh beside Tivcha Shel Zeh. Their fists, their tzvachim, would be removing the old Lechem HaPanim, and the others would be pushing on the new Lechem HaPanim, so the Shulchan wouldn't be missing Lechem HaPanim even for a moment, even for a second. There was always Lechem HaPanim. So the Talmud says that this dispute that the Mishnah records in Menachos regarding the Lechem HaPanim, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash today, we don't have any Shulchan, we don't have any Lechem HaPanim, but it's relevant with respect to the obligation of learning Torah b'Hasmada. What does it mean, Hasmada? Whatever Hasmada means by the Lechem HaPanim Lefanai Tamid, that's what Hasmada means with respect to Limud HaTorah. So one Tana would be of the opinion that it's sufficient if you learn a little bit every day and a little bit every night. V'hagisa b'yom v'lola means Ashmek Tabik in the daytime, Ashmek Tabik at night, Ginuk. And if you want to kill two birds with one stone, the Magen Avraham records in the first Magen Avraham in Arachayim, many shuls used to have a practice. They would finish davening mincha a few minutes every day. They would finish mincha a few minutes before the shkia, and they would start learning something, either Ein Yankif, a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, or Mishnayos. In the shuls in Europe, they wouldn't learn Gemara with Taisus even to mincha. They would learn something easy so everyone could participate, usually Ein Yankif or Mishnayos, and they would start learning Bayom, and they would to continue to learn at least 1 minute after Tzeis HaKacham. So everybody was learning a little bit in the daytime, a little bit in the nighttime. So they were Yaitse, the Hagisa Bayom HaLev. So one time is of the opinion that's sufficient. And the practice in the Bayi Sheni was, the Rambam writes, the Mishnah writes, that they used to do the other kind of Hasmada, Tivcha Shel Zeh, Mitzat Tivcha Shel Zeh. So it follows that the obligation to learn Torah b'Hasmada would mean literally Hasmada, not enough to learn a little bit every day and a little bit every night, that the people are obligated to learn by Yom HaBalayla. The question, what do you mean? How can you take that literally? To learn by Yom HaBalayla? Well, look, people have to go to sleep, they have to make a living, they have to raise their family, they have to eat, they have to take care of things in this world. So the Vilna Gaon explains, that's very well understood. Vilna Gaon was a big master, and nonetheless he gives the following explanation in his commentary on Mishnayos Peyah, where it says, Eilad Varm Sheinlam Shir, Talmud Torah Kenei Kulam, Talmud Torah has no upper limit, you're obligated to learn as much as possible. So the Vilna Gaon says the obligation to learn Torah is every free minute. If a person has to make a parnassus, there is a mitzvah to make a parnassus. It says in Shulchan Aruch, it's a mitzvah to make a living. A lot of yeshivas, they never heard of that mitzvah. But there is such a mitzvah. On the books, there is, it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's a mitzvah to make a parnassus. So it's not that the mitzvah to make a panos is such a chashiv mitzvah that it's doicha the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, no. But when the person is busy making a panos, that's not free time. So there's no obligation to learn Torah. It's not that the mitzvah of eating breakfast, lunch, and supper is such a chashiv mitzvah that it's doicha the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's not doicha anything. When the person is busy sleeping and eating and raising his children and having a family and everything, that's not free time. The person only has the whole chiyuv to learn Torah, only begins if and when he has free time. But when he does have free time, then the obligation is to learn every free moment of the time that he has. The Talmud has a discussion, what if, let's say, a person has a job, and he can make, on this job, he can make $1 million a year. Now, he really doesn't need $1 million a year in order to make ends meet. So he can really work a half a day and learn a half a day. If he works a half a day, let's say, for argument's sake, he can make $500,000 a year. It's also enough. He can live on decently $500,000 a year. I tell the students an incident that happened. I was once I spoke in Los Angeles. I was going to Eretz Yisrael on behalf of the yeshiva about 10 years ago. So as the plane was taking off in Los Angeles, I see a young man walking down the aisles, and he looked so familiar. He was walking in jeans, a dungaree, whatever it was, dungarees, and he had no socks on, and he just had sneakers on. So he looked so familiar, so he stops and he says, "Hi Rebbe, how are you? Shalom Aleichem." Apparently he was in Mashir 20 years earlier, whatever. And so I say, "What do you do? Where are you? Where do you live?" He says he used to live in Los Angeles, and he was a doctor. He used to read the x-rays. I forgot already what you call that. A radiologist. So he says he used to make epis, whatever, $2 million a year. More than enough. And then he decided he's going on Aliyah. So he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He says he bought a home in Savion, where all the poor people live, in Savion. And now he's only making $500,000 a year. And his wife can't get used to living in such aniyas. So he's going to have to move back to Los Angeles. Nebuch, I was going to give him an adobe. He wasn't. He's wearing these torn jeans with the no socks. I was going to give him a couple of dollars to buy a pair of socks. Nebuch. So the Talmud has the following. Let's say a person has a job. He's making $1 million a year. He works all day long. And he can get a job working a half a day, make $500,000 a year, which is more than enough for him to exist on. And he will be able to learn half a day. Some people, even if you give them a whole day, they can't learn. Well, let's say a person will be able to learn a half a day. So that's considered free time. It's not considered that time is all taken up because he's busy a whole day on his job. He doesn't have to be busy a whole day. He can make a living by working a half a day. What happens, let's say, if he has a job, he's making $150,000 a year, and he's doing very well, and he works the whole day, and he can really cut down on that, and he'll be making $75,000 a year, and he'll be able to make ends meet, the koshi. So is that considered free time? Is he obligated to take a job and only make the $75,000 instead of making $150,000 or not? So Gemara has a discussion about that, the Moikot, and Gemara says no. If he really wants to live a little more comfortably, he doesn't want to skimp and save, he wants to be able to live berevach, so that's reasonable, that's considered understandable. So that's not considered free time. But if the guy's making it, even if he cuts his time in half, he's still going to be making $500,000, so that's more than enough. So that's for sure he's mechuyav to cut down on his time. So the din says that one is true. The din says one is only obligated to learn Torah when he has free time. And a lot of the time that people have is talking not free time, but everyone should investigate to see how much time are they wasting that really is free time. Let's say there is no need to watch the late show with the late, late show. They still have the late show. I don't know, when I was in college, the night before I had finals, I was always nervous. I used to watch the late show and the late, late show, all these scary war movies, and that used to calm me down. So I was relaxed. When I was nervous, I didn't know the material, so I used to watch their movies on television, and this would calm me down. I don't know why. So watching television is not really a necessity. People need variety. People have to relax. But a person can find variety within learning. If a person just going to sit and learn Gemara v'Tosis, Gemara v'Tosis, Gemara v'Tosis, is going to go out of his mind. So let him have a little variety. Let him Mabri Sedra a little bit. Let him learn a little bit Nevi'im. Learn a little bit Ksuvim. Learn a little bit Ayin Yankif. What's so bad? Learn a little bit Mishnayis. Learn a little bit Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Big Shulchan Aruch. Mishneh Berurah. Different things. Eben Ezra. Choshen Mishpat. The different. Everything is Talmud Torah. One can find variety within Limud Torah. And it'll be very entertaining. A person will enjoy it very much. People shouldn't think that only the movies are entertaining or only traveling, going touring is entertaining. Learning Torah can also be very entertaining. You just have to find which parts of Torah tickle your fancy. Limud HaTorah doesn't have to be the boring parts that you don't enjoy. Learn the cheerful parts that you do enjoy. It doesn't have to be the most difficult thing that gives you a headache. Learn the easy things. It's the same mitzvah of Talmud Torah, whether you learn easy things or hard things. So this is part of the challenge of Limud HaTorah, that we are all, the men, have the obligation to learn Bahasmada, and many hold literally, Bahasmada Yom V'Laila, to learn every free minute of the day. Of course, whatever time is not free, one is not obligated to learn, but you have to determine, maybe time that you think is not free, really is free. That's the famous word that they say over in the name of Rabbi Sol Salanter, that someone once asked him, Rebbe, if I only have Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was one who founded the Musa movement. So he used to emphasize how important it is to study Sifrei Musa. Someone once asked him, Rebbe, what would you say if I only have 15 minutes a day to learn? Should I study your Musa Svarim or should I study Gemara? So he said, study the Musa Svarim and you'll come to the realization that you have more than 15 minutes a day to learn. That's the truth. What do you mean? No one has any time to learn. People are so busy. We don't have the people. We don't have people who are so busy working all day and all night, and they have such big families that they have to help all the children do the homework and have to go to PTAs all the time. Once a term, there's a PTA meeting, and you don't have to go to the PTAs. You know how your children are doing. If your children are doing well, that's finished. You call the teacher on the phone. You don't have to go. The children don't need so much help on the homework. You have to encourage them. They should do the homework themselves. It does make sense the parents should do the homework for the children. We have to all try to find more free time to learn. But every free moment that we have, the men are really obligated to learn every free moment of the time. That's the mitzvah of learning b'hasmada. It's a wonderful thing that all of the shuls and the communities, this area of the United States is really blessed. You have learning programs and the people are learning, Balabatam are learning, the Chabrusa with each other. Don't try to accept upon yourselves the most difficult challenges. Don't try to make a Siyum HaShas in a half a year. Learn Mishnah is easy. Learn Mishnah is brachas. Don't learn Mishnah is aholis. Learn Mishnah is brachas, and then learn something easy. Learn Ayin Yankif, learn Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. After you graduate from the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, is also learning. In Europe, that was one of the most popular forms was the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It was reprinted so many times in so many countries. Rabbanim used to learn the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, not just farmers, not just Bala Batim. Everybody learned the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And after you master the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, then you can graduate. So go look in the Chayyadim a little bit. You don't have to start from the Mishnah Berurah, from the most difficult things. You know, you shouldn't have the attitude that if you learn Gemara without Tosfos, it is worthless. That's a terrible attitude. That attitude was ingrained within us, and those who learned in the good yeshivas, and the big yeshivas, and the big rabbanim, the big Rashi yeshiva, told the student, you learn Gemara without Tosfos, without the Rashba, is not called learning. It's not called learning. What do you mean it's not called learning? It's wonderful. You learn Gemara with Rashi, it's wonderful. So you don't know the Tosfos. The Tosfos quotes another Gemara from somewhere else. So, you'll learn enough Gemara. You'll know that Gemara also. You won't need the Tosfos. If you learn 50 more blot with Rashi, you'll know everything that Tosfos has to say. Most of the time, you'll know everything that Tosfos has to say. And when you're learning Gemara, you're not obligated to learn every Tosfos either, even in the yeshivas, even when people are learning with Tosfos. You're not mechuyev to learn every Tosfos. You should consult. That's what the stipler writes. Stipler is a legitimate, Chazon Ish's brother-in-law. He's okay. So he writes in the Sefer, you should ask someone who already learned the Masechta to check off for you which are the relevant Tosfos in. A lot of times Tosfos has a long historical discussion. How can it be that this person said the name of this person, he lived earlier, he lived later. So Tosfos says there were two people with the same name, or that he lived longer, whatever. So you can skip all the historical Tosfos. And a lot of times those Tosfos take up a lot of our time. It takes hours and hours and hours to finish. A lot of times Tosfos starts off, goes off on a tangent, how can it be they ask a question, then it comes out, everything was a mistake. So he left with nothing. After you spend a few hours on a Tosfos, he left with nothing new. And most of the Tosfos, and they just tell you another Gemara somewhere else, they fill in more information. So if you wouldn't learn the Tosfos, you learn another 50 blot, you'll already know the other Gemara. Once in a while, you have a Tosfos, gives a new interpretation. Okay, so someone who already mastered this Gemara can check you off which are the relevant Tosfos, if you're up to learning Tosfos. But if you want to learn Gemara with Rashi, it's also a wonderful madrega. There's nothing wrong with learning Mishnayos. So I want to give everybody a bracha. You should continue to be manzliach in the program. People shouldn't accept upon themselves things that are too difficult, because then the whole thing will be a failure. Accept upon yourself to learn easy things, and you go melakala lakavid, and you too can make a siyum hashas in 7.5 years. It's not so impossible. You can make a siyum all of Tanakh. It's wonderful that a lot of the shuls organize a siyum on Tanakh. Everybody learns a couple of prokim, make a siyum either on Zayin Oder, on Shavuos, on Simchas Torah, whatever, and encourages everybody to learn Mishnayos and to learn Gemara and to learn Tanakh. You should do it as well. You should have much success in a new program, and I'm sure everybody will gain from learning more Gemara, from learning more Torah. Thank you very much.